in that time frame, we grew to have basically consistently 50 to 60,000 listeners showing up. You know, they either show up live or they would watch the replay. Yeah, people are so tired of being pitched to death. You know, that's one of the big things I get from folks. Like, oh, we've been to another training where it was 25% of content and 75% upsell. Pitch, 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 run to the back of the room. And I'm just like, I'm not like that. I'm like, listen, hey, if you want to sign up here as it is. And my biggest competitor came to me, well, Scott, your generation just likes to give stuff away. I'm like, well, they need to do that. You got to embrace that, because if you don't start doing that, they're going to come to me or go to somewhere else to find it. And so we create a big sense of urgency with a new class through a webinar, podcast, just leading everybody to this like launch. And it's normally $5.99, but we're going to start it off at $1. And it's going to go up by $1 or $5 every time somebody signs up for it. And we go through everything, and people just get, break the internet. You know what I mean? But it tells you when it starts to fizzle out, it tells you the value that people identify with that product. And that's what you should have that price of that product going forward.
If you want to build a legitimate, profitable online business without shiny objects, without the hypey gimmicks, and without the stress and overwhelm, if you want to make more money without having to be present online all day, every day, pumping out content that nobody sees, and hustling DMs to generate leads and sales, then this is the place for you. Welcome to the Digital Trailblazer Podcast, your online business university, where you'll learn how ordinary people start from ground zero with no influence, no email list or audience to sell to, and no business or marketing experience, and go from working 9-to-5 jobs to building successful 6- and 7-figure online businesses and all the steps in between. Learn the strategies that worked and what didn't. Learn the mistakes that they made and how to avoid them, and then learn their plans for scaling their businesses and taking things to the next level. All so that you can build your business faster and easier and make more money without sacrificing the things that are important to you in your life. I'm your host, Leah Ray Getz, and with me is my husband, Todd. Now let's get to it with today's guest. Welcome, Digital Trailblazers. I'm super excited to have with us Scott Carson. Scott, go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience. Let them know what you're all about.
I'm awesome to be here. I'm known across the country as the Note Guy. So I've been for the last a digital entrepreneur for over 20 years in the real estate space, focused primarily on the niche of buying distressed debts, you know, mortgage notes. I know that doesn't sound sexy, but I compare it to the movies. If you ever watched The Big Short movie out there with Christian Bale and Steve Carell, I'm the Christian Bale character in there. I buy mortgage debt from banks and lenders where people, naughty borrowers, who haven't been paying on their mortgage usually for 6 months, up to 6 years. And we buy that, and then we try to work it out with them by modifying the loan or keeping their house. As I like to say, I don't rehab properties, I rehab borrowers. Without sending them to the Betty Ford Clinic, if that makes sense.
I like that. That's interesting. So how did you get into this space?
It's a weird aspect. I started a mortgage company with a buddy of mine back in 2004. And one of the sponsoring brokers was traveling the country, teaching real estate investing, speaking all the time. And so basically for 4 years, from 2004 to 2008, I had an apprenticeship. While we were originating mortgages on one side of the office, I was learning about creative financing and the note world in real estate from a guy named Bob Leonetti and a lady named Jimmy Kayla. And then when everything hit the fan in 2008, I left there and started my own company in buying and selling debts, and leveraged social media and videos and stuff like that to help me get the word out. And that's what I've been doing ever since. So people always joke that, you know, Scott's everywhere. It's just because I used the power of the internet and social media and digital marketing to really get my message out where others weren't.
Yeah. So I get the buying debt piece. What I need help understanding, and probably a lot of our audience says, is what are you marketing? If you're buying from the banks, like...
Exactly. So these banks will send me large lists of their naughty notes, right? It may be 50, it may be 1,000. Now, I can't buy it all myself. So I use marketing to talk about these deals, because it's a little bit different than going out and buying a home. So part of what I use in the marketing side is to teach what I'm doing and the power of buying debt versus going out and trying to buy property. This helps me move these assets, these other notes, to other investors that I make money off of the sales of that. It also helps me raise capital to take down more deals for myself from investors who say, hey, I like what you're doing, but I necessarily don't want to do it. Can I just write you a check to invest with you? And thirdly, it literally just gets the word out so that people get interested in learning about this niche of note investing that's been around for a while. It's just not like fixing flipping. So then they want to learn about it. So then they sign up for our coaching and classes and all that good stuff as well.
Okay, very cool. So when did the sort of the coaching and education side of this kind of blossom?
Yeah, it's a funny story. I was actually got called to speak on stage at an investing summit for an hour, and I got bombarded after as I walked off the stage with like 30, 40 people. They're like, do you have a class? Do you teach this? I'm like, yeah, sure, I teach it. You know, nothing prepared. And I should have known because the guy I went from, he was teaching different workshops back in the day. But I was like, I didn't have anything planned. So I just said, yes, give me your card. We'll charge $250 for the three-day class. So we literally just reached out to our office and they had a training spot and said, is it open in like 2 months for a 3-day workshop? They're like, yeah. So then we started going around and, hey, we have a workshop coming up in a couple of weeks. And we had 20 people that showed up and that, you know, for that class, filled the class. So in that, you know, a couple of weeks, we put together a binder and a manual and started putting together an email list to start targeting the folks. And that's kind of where it all started. Now, I was known as the Educator of the Year a couple times in my industry, and we've got the number one YouTube channel, the number one podcast, and literally we've helped thousands of regular Joes, regular individuals, guys and gals out there who are either working full-time in their career, want to do this part-time, or they want to get out of fix and flipping or tired of dealing with toilets, tenants, and trash outs, and they want to be the bank, basically, and that's what we teach.
Okay, that's interesting, because we're kind of getting into the real estate space a little bit. I mean, Todd is more than me, to be honest, but I didn't know this was a thing at all.
I mean, most people don't. I mean, I fell in love with real estate because I was watching Flip This House. You know what I mean? The HGTV shows, all that stuff where, you know, you make 10 grand a month or make 10 grand a year and you can buy a $1 million house, right? All these fictional shows or, hey, 5 grand and buy a carpet. That's not the case. Most of those don't exist. And that's how I got started investing, but I did it wrong by overpaying and not figuring it out. So during that apprenticeship, you know, Lee, I really had 4 years of learning how to do things creatively. I had an MBA, you know, education from all these great real estate investors that I could pick up the phone and talk to them and pick their brain and took their classes. So I took all that stuff that I learned and started applying it into my own marketing and my own classes to help get the word out about what we're doing. And
yeah. So you mentioned podcast and YouTube. Do you have like a focus or are both kind of equal for you or where are you spending your time online?
So I start with a marketing first kind of mindset every day. I got started with my podcast back in, it's been about 7 years now, but I was doing video well before that. You remember when Facebook Lives first came out? I was at an event out in Las Vegas. I think Gary Vee got on the stage and he was like, you got to use video. You got to use video. And then like an hour later, Robert Kurchevec, one of the sharks from Shark Tank, you got to incorporate video into what you're doing. I'm like, okay, so we're doing video. So we went back to the office and I said, okay, let's start doing a daily little video, Facebook Live. And so we did one basically for 5 months straight, 150 business days straight, and it built an audience. And we were always doing video and webinars and conference calls anyway before that a little bit, but we really took a video first approach to it. Well, that when you do that straight, you build an audience, you build a following, we're patient in what we're doing. Sometimes all I cared about was that, hey, we'd get one person on. You know, one is greater than none, and it might be the one person that needs to hear it and just grow. And in that time frame, we grew to have basically consistently 50 to 60,000 listeners showing up. You know, they either show up live or they would watch the replay for a while. And I said, okay, we're onto something here. And then a buddy of mine came to me and said, you should really do a podcast. And I'm like, I don't want to do all that extra work. He's like, no, we can outsource it and just keep recording and send it to me. And we'll upload it. I was like, let's do it. So we started a podcast, an Up Closure Show, which is basically just taking our daily or three times a week now video podcast, and we throw it to YouTube. It's also an audio so people can listen or watch. And half the time it's me teaching a lesson, the other half is me having a vendor or guest on. But it really allows people to learn what they're doing, because now we just uploaded episode 850 of the show on Monday. You know, we've got more episodes than anybody else, that we dominate that space. Our YouTube channel has about over 2,000 videos for people to learn from. Yeah, so it's we really give a ton of content, but that also gets people to understand, like, hey, I like this guy, or I don't like this guy. And that's fine, but it builds rapport, because then when people will book like a call with me, you know, Hey, I've listened to, I've binged your stuff, you watched your videos, you listened to your podcast. I feel like I know you, I trust you. You know, now I'm ready to sign up for a class or a workshop. Or like I had a guy text me this morning. I'd never heard of him before, but he booked a call with me. He's like, I'm ready to sign up for coaching. I'm like, okay, let's talk and make sure you're really ready. But turns out he took like our one-day course about 6 months ago and some other things. So it's just a matter of giving, 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 and then you get back is the way I kind of look at it.
Yeah, no, I think that's so true. And I'm inspired and a little bit jealous of your Facebook Live journey. Was that on your page or your profile?
It was on first on my personal profile until we capped that at 5,000. Then we converted it to a business profile. And now we've got, I think, 30,000 followers on the business profile and still capped at the personal. But then we've moved away. You know, the Facebook algorithms have changed so much for the most part. So the thing is that a guy by the name of Roland Frazier, who's a really smart marketing guy, told me a long time ago, Scott, just share your message everywhere. It's not so difficult. You don't have to create 20 pieces of content. Creating one piece and resharing it is like sort of throwing out one line in the water there, like in Cape Coral, where you live down that neck of the woods. You throw a cast net out and you'll eventually catch more fish because it gives people more of an opportunity to see it. And that's what we've always done. I'm always amazed, like when I talk to people and they're like, oh, I'm thinking about doing a video podcast. I'm like, well, what are you using to record your audio? Oh, Zoom. Like there's already video there. Just throw it up on YouTube. Come on. You know?
So, no, I love that. And I think it goes, something that kind of came to mind when you were talking about that journey is how many times you hear about new strategies and people will do it for a couple days. They'll do it for maybe a couple weeks and things get busy, whatever. And that's why people don't get traction with it. Your, like the amount of viewers getting on a Facebook Live is insane. But that comes from, you know, there's the good plan and then there's a little bit of magic of timing, right? And I think that's where that really came together is that you were super duper consistent and putting out great content, sharing that message. And then you had a little bit of the magic dust of the timing of the algorithm pushing lives and doing everything that they were doing at the time. But those are super, I think that's inspiring for folks to hear, you know, how consistency can make a big impact.
It does. I had to tell you, my first YouTube channel got shut down. Actually, we tried to do one of those things where you paid for like followers or likes on a video one time to test out. And YouTube shut down my account and I lost like 840 videos all right there. This is before I started a podcast. But so we had to rebuild our YouTube channel basically. And now we're coming up on 8,000 subscribers. I mean, what I do is a niche. It's very niche-y in real estate. It's not the general real estate aspect of it. If I could tell anybody listening or watching this, the more niche down that you know, the better you're going to be. The biggest mistake I see from a lot of educators or podcasters or whatever like that is they're just too broad. And it's, they don't have any value because they're just kind of too generic, too vanilla. People like getting into specific flavors and nicheness. And while, you know, there may not be a million note investors out there, there's a good solid core of 400 to 500,000 probably. Somewhere that's who my audience is. And, you know, I don't expect to have 100,000 YouTube. It'd be great at some point and maybe I can get there. But the point is, I just show up every day. I got to give a content. I know that I have a marketing calendar. I'm not doing a podcast episode every day now. I just don't have the time. But I do try to get out at least three a week. They're not very long. They maybe one was 9 minutes, another one was 11 minutes, one was 50 because it was an interview with somebody. And then taking that same content and using it on YouTube, creating a LinkedIn newsletter about the article. Creating a short 1 minute video, promoting it, and then sharing that across all social medias. It all kind of figures together, but it doesn't take a lot of money and it doesn't take a lot of time because I'm a film it and throw it up there. I don't spend a lot of time editing stuff because I like people to know, hey, this is me. And if I can do it, you sure as heck can do it.
Now, it sounds like you're doing a ton of organic. Do you do any paid as well?
Zero paid. We just did not find it valuable to do that. So what we found, we've used what we would be paying for stuff to use in some different IP scraping. So we've got a couple of things that if somebody goes to our website, it captures their IP and then goes out and finds their name and email. And then we drip market them a little bit, say, hey, I saw that you stopped by the website or we're checking out this podcast episode. How can we help you? And that always works best for us because it's a better fit feel. We've done, I can't say we haven't done zero. We have done some of it. And they've been okay. It's been good, but for the most part, always that organic stuff that comes in, it's always just a much better fit for what we're doing.
Yeah, I can see just leveraging ads for in the retargeting, you know, purposes. That once they found you somewhere else, you're just going to get hit, you know, because it is so niche. I could see that working. So you're doing some cool stuff when it comes to like conversions and how you're converting people. So walk our audience through how that's working for you.
Yeah. So people will come to our website. We have a thing called, there's a thing called retention.com or getemails.com, which grabs their IP address. And then it goes out, even if they don't click on something, it still grabs their IP address the first time. But it tells us which website they came to and viewed or where they were referred from, whether it was Google or Yahoo or whatever it was. And so it gives us their first name, last name, and email. And so what we do every day is we'll pull that in the morning. Like I had 11 new people hit last night on it. So they all got a customized email, personalized email this morning. Hey, saw you checked out this website or checked out this episode or landed on this one landing page. How can we help assist you? What are your goals? You know, if it's a specific podcast episode or something, we may get them a second, you know, episode. And then we're like, one of the things we always like to invite them to is every month we host a one-day like mini class, like a four-hour Cliff Notes version. We call it Note Weekend. And so it's I will do this live once a quarter, and then we replay it the other months. But that it sends people into our funnel. So they sign up for the class. They watch 3 or 4 hours. It's a soft sell into either our more full, you know, workshop for anywhere from $300 to $1,000, or they'll sign up for our monthly membership at $97 a month. So it gets them learning, starting to pay attention a little bit. Most of the time, they've already been listening to me for a while on the podcast, stuff like that. But then they're booking phone calls with us, and whichever they sign up, then it leads to the, you know, like if they sign up for the 1 day class, it's about a 30% conversion rate into either the membership or the class. And then out of that, we host that class once a quarter. And then we sell high end coaching off of that, you know, $5,000 to $25,000 in high end coaching for folks.
A couple things that people need to pull from this and why it works is number one, you're super niche, so that when people are registering for that class, they are your people.
Yep.
Right. It's like they want what you have. They've been targeted because they already went to your website. They are 100% your people and you are super dialed in, which makes this work. And then the second piece is all of the nurture.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That you've nurtured them through your content on the front end. Right. And who knows how much content they've consumed by the time that they end up going to that workshop, and then you're loving on them for another 3 to 4 hours.
Exactly right. So like I give you an example, we've for 13 years, we've been doing a Monday night webinar of some sort, 35 to 40 weeks out of every year. Been doing it for 13 years. No night in America. We, you know, used to be the Monday night. Well, we're going to do it. So the football night in America, we're going to do it. No night in America, right? So we get people on there, and usually it's live of me going through some sort of nugget, and it's just really good content. Like this last Monday night, I literally pulled up a tape of 349 assets that they could bid on or take a look. And we spent an hour, hour and a half going through them to help them find the deals from the duds. Nobody else does that in my industry. Nobody else wants to share kind of the resources. So we go through that. And besides that, we also, those that took my class a couple of weeks ago, we do 4 weeks of coaching calls for free after the fact to help them implement more. So, and then of course, those calls are open to the public. If they want to come in and watch public, they see what we're giving away for free. Like, wow, what he gives away for free, imagine what his paid stuff is. And we blow them away that way as well.
Yeah, I think that's a challenge that a lot of new people run into, is they're like, well, you tell me to give all this value, you say that, but oh, why are they going to pay me? Like, if I'm giving everything away, and you're like, you don't understand human psychology. Like, no. You know, obviously there's going to be way more support, way more details, way more everything in the paid offer, and people see all the goodness in the free and they just light up. I know that's one of the most common things that I hear when I'm on a sales call. Like when someone's looking at our coaching program to help them with selling their or launching their programs, it's, well, I say, why us? It's like, well, because you give real stuff. Like it's not just fluff like everyone else.
Yeah, people are so tired of being pitched to death, you know.
Yes.
That's one of the big things I get from folks. Like, oh, we've been to another training where it was 25% of content and 75% upsell. pitch, run to the back of the room. And I'm just like, I'm not like that. I'm like, listen, hey, if you want to sign up here as it is. And my biggest competitor came to me. Well, Scott, your generation just likes to give stuff away. I'm like, well, they need to do that. You got to embrace that, because if you don't start doing that, they're going to come to me or go to somewhere else to find it. There's a little tool called Google. You know what I mean? You have to adapt. You have to evolve, because marketing is always changing. If you're trying to do business, you know, another one of my competitors is still trying to do the old direct mail route that she's been teaching for, I don't know, 30 years, and buy a Amazon forest of training manuals and no videos, no support. I'm like, that just doesn't work these days. It might work for somebody who's older and doesn't like the digital side, but it's not effective in the 21st century.
You should send her our way. We'll help her convert.
And she needs that. She's like, send her. It's like, no, I'm good. I'm like, yeah, I hope you are.
Yeah, we got your retirement saved, because this is not going to work forever.
That's a big waste of burning money. You know, that's not fun at all.
I just got back from a mastermind with a bunch of very seasoned, very successful marketers. And some of these guys have been in this. I mean, Todd and I think we're at 8 years now. So I feel like in the internet space, that's a long time.
Yes, actually, yeah.
Yeah, but these guys, like 20 years, like the beginning of the internet time. And the biggest theme is adaptability.
Yep.
Like you have to be able to pivot with the market when is appropriate, and understand that you're not, you know, jumping from shiny object to shiny object, but you need to really study the market, know what's happening, and make strategic adjustments when needed.
So one of the things that I love using too when I create a new product or a new training class is I use something called a bump sale. And where basically if somebody signs up at a buck, it goes up by a dollar, goes up by $5. And so we create a big sense of urgency with a new class through a webinar, a podcast, just leading everybody to this like launch. And it's normally $5.99, but we're going to start it off at a dollar. And it's going to go up by a dollar or $5 every time somebody signs up for it. And we go through everything, and people just get, you know, break the internet. You know what I mean? But it tells you when it starts to fizzle out, it tells you the value that people, you know, identify with that product. And that's what you should have, that price of that product going forward. So we've used that in a lot of cases to do it. But it's always interesting seeing people. I had one lady signed up who was going to sign up for $8. She was like, I went to hit it and somebody beat me to it. And so for 2 days, she complained to me that she didn't get it at $8. And I'm like, you need to go back and sign up. It's at $50 now. You need to go back and sign up. It's at $99. She ended up signing back up to $125, and she's complaining. I'm like, look, you wasted 2 days complaining that you didn't get an eight. You just got to be fast, you know? And
yeah, click the button again.
Exactly. Click it again. Don't complain. But you're going to have errors, too. I think that's one of the biggest things that digital marketers worry about, is pissing everybody else off sometimes, or the trolls that happen. Look, you got to realize that not everybody is your client. That was one of the biggest things that I learned from one of my mentors early on in life, is that there's three buckets of people. People that love you, that your cheerleaders, your friends, your families, existing clients, those are the people that are great in one bucket. On the opposite side, you got all the trolls, the haters, the people not doing anything, who have just a dark hole for a soul, as I like to say, okay? You're never going to make those people happy. And then in the middle bucket is people that don't know you. They're on the fence. They've maybe watched a little bit of stuff, and they're kind of teetering. So focus on the two buckets, the happy, your cheerleaders, and then the middle bucket. Forget about the trolls, because here's one thing. You will never have somebody who is doing more than you talk bad about you. I've always found it's always somebody that's not doing anything or jealous of the situation, stuff like that. And when I knew that, I was like, oh, they're just upset that I'm doing more than them. They're just upset. They're not affecting my payday. They're not signing up for my stuff. So why do I give a rat's ass or give them a second in my mind? It's very liberating, but not everybody has that thick skin yet when they're building out their program or been doing it for a while.
Yeah, I think it's a painful but really important lesson for everyone to learn. Like, your content should be polarizing. You don't want it, you know, it's like the Bible verse of being lukewarm and being spit out. Like, no one is going to pay money with you If you're lukewarm.
Exactly. You can't be Switzerland. You got to take one side of the argument and stick with it. And that's okay.
Like, dive in, be you loudly, and let the people who naturally are attracted to you be attracted. Let the people who are not your jam be not your jam. and let them go, and that's okay.
You know, you have to avoid too. There's so much of the social media up there. Is it really social proof? It's douchepreneur proof. Okay. Too many with the Lambos and the honeys or the fancy vacations. Look, most of that doesn't happen. Most of that's rented. There's a couple good Netflix documentaries on some of these jokers out there. Be yourself. You know what I mean? One of my favorite books is The Millionaire Next Door. It talks about the guy, you know, in real estate who's driving a late model Ford F-150 four-door white pickup of some sort. It's a few years old. I mean, I drive around a Dodge Ram. It's 10 years old. It's paid for. Still drives, but it's paid for. It works. That's all I need. I'm not flashing here. I'm not going to spend money. I like to travel. I like to have fun. But to flaunt it, like, come on now. When you look at what the government's starting to do, they're really starting to crack down on those false pretenses or the people fake. You can't do that. Just be yourself. Hey, if you make 10 grand, say you made 10 grand. You gotta say you made 100 grand when you didn't make it. And don't lie to people. Just be honest with people. That's one of the biggest things that you can do to stand out and add credibility.
Well, and I think people they don't get the opportunity that you have when you're just getting started to be relatable. Because a lot of people, even like where we are, we're at that kind of not relatable people stage for a lot of people. I think personality, hopefully, and content kind of overcomes that. But like when we were first getting started and we were just making our first online sales, we were just doing these first things, like people saw someone just a few steps ahead who could help them. And we had so many people who, you know, they saw such and such who's a big guru doing similar to what we were doing and getting great results. But who did they contact? Because we were just a couple steps ahead. And they didn't want the guru answer that came from a team who, you know, it wasn't even relatable because they couldn't even understand how small they were just at the beginning versus someone just a couple steps ahead. That's who they want to learn from because they just did it. And they're so close that they feel like, okay, they have the answer. It's right there.
Well, but it's also too is that they can connect with you. They're going to talk to you. You're going to actually get answers from you guys. And that's one of the big things I like. You know, I give everybody my cell phone number. Like, hey, book a call on my calendar. You will talk to me when you're coaching with me, not some employee, not somebody who's just reading from a manual. I've always said that an employee cannot teach an entrepreneur how to succeed. It's got to be an entrepreneur teaching an entrepreneur.
I know. Yeah. That's one weird thing that you see in the online like biz coaching space is people who, you know, the big name is behind it. And then they just like are the big name. They're not involved in any of the details. And it's just people who they've trained to mimic them. And I'm like, I couldn't sell that because my people need more help than that. Like they need the actual expertise to get great results.
There's coaching companies out there that have contacted me like, hey, we want to sign up and be your coaches. I'm like, do you have somebody that's focused on notes? No, we're talking about wholesale and are flipping houses. I'm like, I don't teach that. Well, we just want to market to your list. We'll give you a big. And I'm like, no. I'm not going to do that. I don't. That's not what I teach. I'm not here just for a check. And that's a big thing. So people get so busy and pimping their image out or something. Look, we have, affiliate relationships and vendors and sponsors, but they're all folks that we use or products that we use that we truly endorse. It's not getting paid. And if it is something that we've ever done, it's always, hey, we don't use this, but we think it will be good for you. Or check this out, you know. And there's people out there. Well, I was talking to a major podcaster. He's like, yeah, I gotta pay some bills. So I got these new sponsors I don't use. I'm going to broadcast my own. I'm like, I just can't do that.
And I think the longer that you're in this space, the more you realize the value of your reputation. Like this is a long-term play, ladies and gentlemen, whether you're just getting started now or you've been at this for a long time, you should not be promoting everything that people throw at you because some of it, and sometimes a lot of it is junk. It's junk. And you're going to burn bridges with audience people, with potential customers, if you're promoting things that you wouldn't be proud to put your name behind, right? So I know for ourselves, if we're going to promote someone, we need to know that what they do is amazing, yep. Like point blank. Because we've worked for 8 years to build our reputation online as people of, you know, with a good, strong, moral, ethical, you know, we're here for you to support you, all of that good stuff. And we're not going to waste that for a few bucks.
And here's another thing too. I think when you're early on in marketing and blazing your own trail and stuff like that, you get people that come to you and you really want to make that sale to them, but you have that sickness feeling. You just have an uneasy feeling about that person. Trust it. Trust that sixth sense. Some of the biggest mistakes I made as an investor and entrepreneur is bring allowing people to come in that I go back, I shouldn't have allowed them in. They just didn't have a good feeling about it, and it blew up in my face, and I was so glad to get rid of them. And that's the thing. Just yes, I know you got to pay bills. I get that sometimes, but there's always that point. It's going to come back and bite you, and it's sometimes better to say, listen, I just don't think we're a fit. You know, let's stay friends, but I just don't think we're a fit for you're a fit for what we're doing. I just don't think you're, no offense, just I don't want your money. You know, don't need your money.
Yeah. And I think it is freeing when people finally accept that. But I think typically people have to go through a few of those before they really take it on and stay firm with it and get more, because you kind of get the idea, but then you're kind of pushing the boundaries a little bit. Well, they're kind of like, you kind of make up excuses until you've been through it and you're like, nope, that was a bad client. I don't want to do that anymore. This is not a good idea.
Well, that's why it's just so important to have a coach. I mean, having a coach that can help you through that can hold your hand. You know, there's been times in my competitors, we've talked and like, and they're like, yeah, don't trust that guy or that gal. They're that I'm like, well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Or when I see that somebody's starting to promote them, I'll do, hey, that person, you got to be careful about that. The last thing you need is a big chargeback. This guy or gave me sound good, but they will stab you in the back when first time something trends a little bit different. So you got to be careful about that. So having a coach and connecting and networking others in your industry to find out what's best. One of the things that we did a couple years ago is this is before all the big online summits, Liz. We decided we were going to do our own online summit. We went from doing hotel workshops to basically Zoom workshops. We decided we'll do a summit that way. So we invited like 30 to 40 of our peers in the industry, my competitors, some of my vendors, all that stuff. And we put on a four-day workshop called Note Camp. And we literally just said, hey, you've got, come on, we'll have 6-7 speakers each day for an hour each. Only a third were allowed to sell because they were those that we liked and understood that it was valuable. The other rest was just got to be pure content. And it was such a great networking event for everybody, but people loved it because they were able to see people that went speaking on the same stages together at the same time. And it led to a lot of drafting off of each other's audiences, you know, them promoting or social tagging and social media posts of that. So it was really one of the most valuable things. And now we had 34 sessions that we could turn those into podcast episodes or turn those into a manual. A book from the whole event became its own product, besides having affiliates with those that were selling. So that was one great thing that really hit. We saw a significant bump in downloads and engagement and coaching from just drafting off of other people as well too.
And that was a fully virtual summit?
It's a fully live virtual summit. You know, not pre-recorded. It was literally,
right.
We used a calendar link to have everybody booked their stuff, but it was like, it was on track. You know, we used two Zoom rooms. We had two speaking sessions going simultaneously.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. But we would get, and we had all pre-scheduled with the social media posts and the speaker posts and tagging them all. And we invite all the folks that were watching to share too. They would get a discount off the replay. So we had over 2,000 pieces of organic social media posts from those attendees alone over that 3-day. And it was blown away. Our friends and families, even those that didn't want to be on it, they're like, we need to be on there next year because it was so amazing. But it was drafting. I think it's a great thing for those that are getting started. Invite your peers, invite your confidence, have a virtual stage to help people get rock and rolling and see what people like and engage with. And then maybe that's the niche that you go after.
Yeah, no, I think that is gold, massive gold nuggets for folks to pay attention to. Like, so I was just in a room with a bunch of fellow seven and eight figure earners. Now, was the most of the content I kind of knew, but there was a few gold nuggets that I took from the content of the workshop. The value of the workshop was the relationships.
Exactly.
Relationships. So we have a very big deal potentially on the horizon. For just one of the several follow-ups that we're doing from this thing. So it's relationships and building those, you know, collaborations, affiliates, referrals, joint ventures, like all kinds of things that you can end up doing together. There's so much opportunity. And so I think people get sort of like in their silo, right? They get, you know, they're just focused on their one little thing and just getting more leads, more clients versus making sure there's enough space to have those authentic connections, network with people and open up those channels to be able to work together more.
Well, you said something very critical that 75% of people really fail to do is the follow-up.
Yeah.
You know, is, you know, you don't get a chance to speak with everybody in a 3-day, but follow up. Hey, we met at this event. I didn't get a chance to really sit down with you. I'd love to talk with you. Let's visit. Let's schedule a virtual coffee or jump online. And then following up with making it easy for people to connect with you, rescheduling through a link or whatever, just that continued follow-up. The biggest fallacy I hear people say, and this always pisses me off, like, oh, you're too busy to talk to me. No, I'm not. You know, or I didn't want to bother you again. I mean, I'm like, people are normal. They're going to forget things. Touch base and the, you know, the squeaky hinge gets the oil. So,
yes,
you know, 80% of sales are made after the fifth contact. I'm going to have a tattoo of that on my hand today because I say it all the time. But it's after the
tombstone as well.
Exactly. This was the sixth contact. You know what I mean? Well, that's it. Follow up with people. I mean, I'm always amazed too when I'm talking to people and I ask them, okay, well, how many people on your email list? Well, I don't have an email list. I'm like, what? I'm like, you've got to have an email list. You got to have something that you can reach out to because you really own that. If you're just relying on a Facebook or an Instagram or something like that, you don't own it. It can go away instantly. You know, I'm not a big fan of the Alex Jones guy from InfoWars because when he was canceled, he lost everything except two things, his email list and his RSS feed. You know, and he owned those things. So he still had that. He could still operate on that. Don't really be relying. That's why so many people are all worried about TikTok. What's going to happen with that out there? You got to share your message everywhere, and don't be afraid to follow up with folks and expand and learn from others in your circle, like you did, Leah.
Yeah, 100%. And that's get them on. Take the traffic that you don't own, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, all these things, and turn it into traffic you own. Get them on your list. If you are just out there creating traffic or creating content, and you're not pushing them to an email list or even an SMS list or something, like,
yeah, all that work is for naught if it goes away. That's the biggest thing.
It does. And if you look, even just the last few years, really big names had their accounts disappear overnight on platforms. Mm-hmm. And in small names, obviously, as well. It's you don't control it. Don't let that feel like you control it, because in reality, use it, because it's very powerful.
Yes.
Use it, but move it to somewhere that you do own it and you can survive and keep going when things get, when, you know, something happens.
Truer words were never spoken in the digital trailblazing marketplace.
There you go. Thank you. So I'm curious, like, what would be one piece of advice that you'd want to share with folks who are kind of inspired by your journey, what you've done, if they want, you know, to create the sort of maybe that one day workshop, that half day workshop or whatever. What would you give them?
Easy thing to do is give people your good stuff. It's very simple. Record it. I mean, share it live. People always like the live aspect of it so that you could record it. You could jump on Zoom and go live on YouTube or Facebook. That'd be the first place to start. And then upload it and then save it as a file that's evergreen. I mean, I only teach it like once every 3 months now. But we still have consistently 500 to 600 people opting into that one-day class evergreen, knowing that they can always talk to me, knowing that they get on the phone with me, and it's just one thing that we share everywhere. It's an easy lead bait for people to see, hey, this is actually how he or she teaches. This is good. I'm not getting this anywhere. Don't make it a sales pitch. That's the biggest thing you can do. But that's the thing. Just give them some good stuff. Don't be over-pitchy. Be yourself. And encourage them to ask questions and then just follow up with people. Hey, thanks for taking the class, or hey, thanks for signing up. Here's the next space for you. I mean, we went to the, you know, we discovered our membership, our $97 month membership, because like, okay, what if people take our class twice a year, they're going to pay at least $1,000, if not more. You know, why don't we just make it $97 a month? So technically they save what they would pay for one class. They get year-round coaching, year-round connections with us. And it was an easy revenue model to add into what we do on a daily.
So if people want to learn more about you, where should they find you?
Easy. You can go to our website, weclosenotes.com. Or if you're interested in the note investing space or to see what we do with our free class, you can always go to noteweekend.com. No credit card needs, opt into it. You'll see what we do in our class and what we give away with it, the PDF, the 3.5 hours of content, and everything else is a good follow-up for you. It's a good guide. But we are here. But here's the thing. If you really wanted to launch your class and really take it to the next level, you're in the right spot. Listen to Leah. She's the person you need to talk to. She's the person you need to have coaching. It's not what I do. She does that, and she can help you go from 0 to 90 miles per hour very, very quickly, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Scott. This has been so much fun. I hope our audience has had as much fun as I have. This has been amazing. Thank you for being with us today.
Glad to be here, as honored as always. And if you're, this is a podcast too, right? You're going to turn this youngest to the podcast. So make sure you go over and hit that subscribe button and make sure you leave a 5-star review as well. We as podcasters love to hear from our audience, and we don't get enough of them. So leave a 5-star review, subscribe, and we'll see you all at the top.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Scott. Bye-bye. You've been listening to the Digital Trailblazer podcast. For show notes and information about today's guest, head to digitaltrailblazer.com. Now, if you love this episode, if you got some value, make sure you leave us a review and subscribe. And be sure to share this episode with anyone you know who could use help to build their business. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.